Mary Van Belgoy is a leading authority on the ranch house. She's also the biographer of influential architect and ranch house pioneer Cliff May. She speaks at the Plaza branch of the Kansas City Public Library at 6:30 this evening. And our conversation now is going to be all about the ranch house. And Mary, so good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. How surprising is it that the ranch house is back again?
It's not in that sense. I mean, really? The ranch house has reached its 50th anniversary, mm-hmm. and with that, there's interest in this new historic architectural style. And we've seen that with the bungalow, for example, even with Victorian houses.
Mm-hmm. But the interest is being is coming from where? What's causing this spurt of interest here?
I think it's younger people moving into these ranch houses and wanting to make them to go back to that era in that sense, because there's a lot of wonderful ways that you can decorate your house and make it a true ranch house, and that's always fun for people.
And older folks are seeing some big advantages to living in a ranch house because it's just a single story, no stairs, and that's attractive.
That's exactly right. It's typically a single story house with no steps whatsoever, and it's easy to get around, and you don't have to, you know, take laundry downstairs to the basement and such.
Are they typically built on a slab?
Yes, they are.
That's what my old house in Huber Heights, Ohio, is built on. So it's a slab home, no basement, no upstairs typically, and away you go.
Correct. It's generally an asymmetrical house because it wants to look like it's rambling across the entire property itself. It has a wood shingle roof, board and batten walls, or it may be decorated with used brick, field stone, lots and lots of windows because it's trying to bring the outdoors in, invite you outside as well.
That's what the whole idea, Cliff May's idea of the ranch house was. He was a Southern California guy. He wanted to bring people closer to their outdoors environment because it was so darn beautiful in Southern California, and it still is.
Yeah. That's right, and he was basing this idea on how, on basically the 19th century Southern California adobes that he knew of, and so he really took this to a whole new level in bringing the outdoors in by being able to use windows, which, of course, in the 19th century, they didn't have as much glass as we do now today, and being able to use new technology, having whole walls made out of glass so that you always felt that you were outside.
And the sliding door out to the patio, that's a very typical feature as well.
That's right. And that's, you know, to create a whole new living space, another living room, as we call it.
Right outside your back door then.
And you could have that with the technological advances that we saw in the 1940s and 1950s, because now you could have radiant heating on your patio floor. So you could go outside even in the winter time.
Huh, that's interesting. So you're an expert in the ranch house. Why? What drew you to this area of interest?
Because I lived in a ranch house.
Did you really?
I did, and yeah. I wanted to learn more about it. I was interested in architecture, and I was living in this, you know, suburban tract house, which was a ranch house, and I wanted to know more about it. And there wasn't not a whole lot of information. So I did a lot of research and found Cliff May, of all people, because at that time there was not much known on him, but at the same time, all of the magazines pointed to him.
Well, he's been not with us. He died in the early 80s, if I understand right.
He died in 1989.
1989. Okay. And did you ever talk to him?
No, I never had the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Do you live in a ranch house today?
I live in a split-level home.
Have you thought about living in a ranch house again?
Going back to the ranch house, definitely. Yeah. I do like the fact that it does not have any stairs.
Yeah, I get that. Do lot sizes today affect how many ranch homes are being built?
They can. I mean, certainly you had middle to upper class clients that Cliff May had that it could ramble all over the site and create these huge, huge homes. But on the other hand, the tract houses that May was even designing, they were very small, about 1,200 square feet.
That's really small.
That's really small.
That's about how big my house was in Ohio. Yeah, I remember that as a boy. Yeah. Let me get our listeners involved here. If you have lived in a ranch, if you are living in a ranch and can tell us what you like about it, what you don't like about it, give us a shout. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. I'm just wondering that there's also low roof lines, I remember, and they had a purpose because the roofs overhung the edges of the house, and that was for a reason that the Spanish influence. Tell us about that.
Well, it's really about how they want the house to fit in with the site itself. So you mm-hmm. have this low profile roof to make it like it's hugging the ground. That's almost part of your site itself.
Because you're incorporating, again, into your environment.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very standard feature of these homes everywhere.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. They typically had an L shape, but as the family grew, so did the house. What shape would the house eventually take, Mary?
So they could start out as just a rectangular plan, grow to an L-shaped, and then even grow to kind of a splayed U-shape, because you want as much of the backyard as you can get. So by splaying it out, that U, you can have that room much larger.
Huh, that's really, and again, that sort of goes back to the Spanish influence, though, doesn't it? That kind of, yeah.
That's right. It's from the Spanish colonial revival style of having this outside corridor, as it's called, the wide overhanging eaves. And that is to propel you to go outside and enjoy the weather.
Hmm. Another characteristic of the ranch house is the free flow from room to room. Did the ranch house propel the open concept movement? Is that what it sort of helped bring us?
That I would claim is more of a modernist idea, because you have modernist architects like Neutra or even Frank Lloyd Wright, as we know him today, with his prairie home houses, where he is creating these open spaces for informality. I mean, you no longer have these social rooms of the house. Everything is now open and wide. And so I like to say that the ranch house is this modernist design dressed in a Western outfit.
And even the name, the ranch house, he coined that, I think, because why?
He did not coin it. It was more of the magazines that did that.
The magazines.
And they would claim that, you know, the ranch style was really a concept such as living out of doors casually and comfortably.
Almost like the old cowboys, or am I reaching too far there?
No, exactly right. It's this kind of, the cowboy lived in this informal environment. He had uncomplicated relationships with other people. You knew who the bad guy was. And so that's what people in the post-war were looking for. They wanted to emulate that, and they saw the cowboy as their folk hero.
Okay, the ranch house is our topic here. If you've lived in one or live in one now and want to talk about what you like about it or not, 816-235-2888. Heather from Gardner, Kansas. Good morning, Heather.
Hi. I am calling. I live in a ranch in Gardner, and we bought in Gardner because I wouldn't buy anything but a ranch. And the ranches that I was looking at in Overland Park, they were more along the lines of closer to 300, and so they weren't in, you know, the starter range. But I'm from Nashville, and my grandfather developed subdivisions from the 50s, right after, you know, the big boom when World War II ended, from Memphis to Atlanta to Nashville. And he always told me, always, always buy a ranch, because the resale value is higher. They don't build them really brick ranches here like they do in the South, but you've got a better floor plan normally. You can age in them, and I love it. I've never... This is my first house, but, you know, when I do move, if I do move, I will be moving to another ranch on a bigger lot. And my floor plan now is more of a compact ranch, but we have a huge, almost 1,000-square-foot basement.
Oh, really?
So, you know, you have a lot of living space there if you want to finish it. And if I do move, it'll be from with a ranch that has more of, like, the middle of the home is your kitchen, your living room, and then each end are the bedrooms. That's the way we build them down south.
Well, we were talking earlier.
Can't beat them.
We were talking earlier, Heather, that lots of ranches typically don't have basements, but you're saying yours has got a big basement.
Oh, mine has almost 1,000 square feet out here in Gardner. It's. I love the floor plan. I mean, I see. We were talking before my grandfather passed away about the split level, and he just told me never to buy them because you lose so much space in a lot of these vaulted ceilings. The heating and it just makes no sense. The living space is just so not there compared to a ranch. You just can't beat a ranch house, in my opinion. Plus, now with the baby boomers, my resale is like increasing. Our ranches sell in less than 30 days here because they're in demand. People want a house they can live in that's really nice, that doesn't have to be massive, because your kids grow up, they move away. So why spend, you know, an extra $100,000 for 10 years of your life when they're going to leave, and then you're going to have to downsize, and you have lost a lot of that money. And that's all I've got to say.
Well, Heather, I think I'm going to nominate you for the president of Ranch Houses of America or something. You're just the right person to be the first caller here. Thanks for making the call. I appreciate it, Heather. Let's go to Barry from Kansas City, Missouri. Barry, you're on Up to Date.
Well, thank you very much.
Tell me about your ranch house.
In 1985, I wanted to build a home and decided on a ranch, very much like the lady who spoke before, because I had always lived in a ranch. And in addition, at that time, the idea of creating an energy efficient home was even being encouraged by the government with tax benefits. So I got a hold of a company, Ambassador Construction, who was at that time known for energy efficient homes, and we put together a ranch, but it was a passive solar ranch right there out in Leawood. Mm-hmm. And I lived in it, raised three kids in it, and then about 5 years ago, when it was time for me to sort of downsize and retire, I sold it to my son because I would never let that house out of the family.
What did you like about it so much, Barry?
Well, what I liked about it is everything that your guest has already spoken to, the one level, which immediately makes a house energy efficient because you don't have all your heat in the winter going upstairs, mm-hmm. and therefore it's cold down and vice versa in the summer. That was definitely one of the things that encouraged me. Plus, by making it passive solar and keeping it a ranch, because if you just ruin passive solar without that one level, the windows at that time, remember, this is 1985, were double pane with the addition to the window glass called low E glass that keeps the heat in or out depending on the season and the light in. There's just so many things you could do. Every light in the ceiling was insulated. It was easy. It was easy to build, though a little more expensive, and most of that wasn't just the ranch. The ranch,
right.
you know, you're paying more for concrete basement, and you have a long 110-20-foot roof.
Yeah.
But it paid off. I mean, it's been 35 years, and, you know, my bills and my son's bills, oh, my goodness, you know, in the summer when people are getting $300 and $400 electric bills, his are like $120.
Wow.
You just can't beat a ranch for efficiency, and it's the place to add other efficient ideas like the window treatments,
yeah.
and all the insulation.
Well, Barry, I'm glad you called, and the enthusiasm levels through the roof here, Mary. It's pretty impressive.
Well, what I think is coming through that's important, it's not only about energy efficiency, it's also about how the ranch house created what we call living zones.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have the kind of family room, living room, kitchen and dining room off to one side of the ranch house, and then you'd have the bedrooms to
yes.
the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was a real selling point with people.
All right. Let me go to Andrew here from Prairie Village. In the heart of ranch home, Kansas City area, metro area right now, Andrew calls from Prairie Village. Andrew, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My question for your speaker today is this. As you mentioned, we have a number of ranch homes in Prairie Village, but we also have mid-century modern homes. And I'm curious if there is any kind of formal distinction between a mid-century modern and a ranch. They both tend to be built on slabs. They both tend to be one story, but mid-century modern is very distinct, at least stylistically, from the outside. So I'm curious if there really is any distinction between the two.
That's interesting, Andrew. Mary?
Well, as I mentioned, really the ranch house is this modernist interior plan, and then on the exterior, it has its kind of Western roots. And so a lot of times there's really not a difference, but it's considered... The ranch house is considered vernacular because of what people do put on the outside to make it feel much more rustic, to make it feel much more part of the site, which these modernist homes do not do.
Hmm. I hope that helps, Andrew. Susan from Overland Park. Susan, you're on Up to Date.
Hi. I actually grew up in Southern California in a ranch house built on a slab. I think it was built in about 1942. Actually, my brother lived in that house until recently when he passed away.
Mm.
And so it was, I went out there many times to clean out the house. Then I actually lived in Massachusetts in a three-story house for many years where our kids grew up. But then about 22 years ago, we moved to Kansas, and I now live in the ranch house, which I purchased because it had a very large yard and I wanted a vegetable garden, and it had the posts on the front porch just like my California house, and it has a cement slab front porch, but it does have a basement, which is good because I think the people that built it in the early 50s, about 52, probably had either a tornado shelter or a bomb shelter, I'm not sure which it is, in the basement. So I do have a basement, but I love it because of the, I'm now in my 70s, and the single story aspect for most things, our washing machine is in the basement, but I we did have a chairlift put into the basement because I had two bad hips a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and needed to have them replaced, and getting down to the basement is not as easy now for me and my husband. So we do have a little chairlift going to the basement, so you can solve that two-story problem. But we love it because everything else is on the first floor.
Sounds good. Susan, I sure appreciate your phone call. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have a few more minutes left in our segment now about the ranch home. Mary Van Belgoy is with me here. She's a leading authority on the ranch home. And I should mention she speaks tonight at 6:30 at the Plaza branch of the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library. Go to kclibrary.org to grab a seat or to grab more information. That's tonight at 6:30 at the Plaza branch of the Kansas City Public Library. Mary, let's turn to ranch house pioneer Cliff May, who spent much of his career in Southern California. He was never an architect, or at least he wasn't until late in his life, and that's something for which he was very proud, even though he designed a lot of homes. Why wasn't he a formal architect, and why was he proud not to be one?
Well, it's interesting because Cliff May enjoyed music much more than he enjoyed building homes at first. Mm-hmm. And it was really his father who first encouraged him to go to college, but then he didn't study architecture there either. He was a business major. He drops off out of school very early in the 1930s because of the Great Depression. He goes back to music. However, he's also at this time engaged to be married to a woman by the name of Jean Lichty. And her father was a prominent real estate agent. And I think he was probably worried that his daughter was going to be supported by a musician. And so he basically arranged for Cliff May to build a home, and he did so. And so it was from that point on that Cliff May would learn about the style much more so, and he would begin to promote it more and more so through magazines and such. In fact, as early as he built his first home in 1932, and as early as 1934, he already has one of his homes in Architectural Digest, which is pretty good for a person who has no architectural background. And he is in there with the big guys, the big league, Gordon Kaufman and such. And so he, I think, was proud of the fact that he was just a builder. He was not an architect. And look where he took the ranch house.
Well, are ranch houses still being built today?
They are. In fact, it was very interesting. If you go back to Sunset Magazine, this is a magazine of the West, they continue to promote articles in their magazine about the ranch house.
Mm-hmm. You know, in an interview in 1936, he said this: the early Californians had the right idea. They built for the seclusion and comfort of their families, for the enjoyment of relaxation in their homes. We want to perpetuate these ideas of home building. I mean, his whole thing was livability, right?
That's correct. It was more of a concept than what was on the outside of the building. And he really wanted, that living casually, comfortably out of doors.
And he would actually go into homes and observe how families lived to help him design the homes even better.
Yes, he would actually live on the site to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would see ways that the sun is, you know, setting, rising, the wind, whatever it could take to site the building on it correctly and get the most out of it.
Let's go back to some calls here. Lisa from up in St. Joseph. Lisa, welcome to Up to Date.
Hello, thank you. I just wanted to comment that I grew up in Massachusetts in a two-story colonial where all the bedrooms are on the second floor. And as an adult, I lived in Oklahoma in a ranch, which I loved. But when I had children, I was concerned. I never let them sleep with their windows open at night because they could just so easily be snatched. And I guess I just never developed that comfort level with a ranch, just having the outside so accessible.
Hmm.
Well, and one thing that Cliff May would do certainly in his homes was that for the bedrooms, he would have, facing the front of the street, he would have ribbon windows so that there was that level of security. And then, of course, the sliding doors that go out onto the backyards. And he would make sure that, or ensure, that you could lock those at night and that his idea was not to have them open all the time.
And a ribbon window is what?
It's a small window that runs across the top of the floor of the bedroom, and so it's something that you can't necessarily go out of on your own. And certainly a grown-up would not be able to fit through one of these ribbon windows.
How did he manage to keep building costs down, Mary? Because I know that he used a lot of plywood, because I remember that from my home in Ohio. Yeah.
Well, at this time, they're experimenting with new techniques and such, and they try to keep the building costs down by not using so much ornamentation, and that was important in these houses. I mean, if you compare a Victorian, it's very ornate, to the ranch house, it's very simple indeed.
Mm-hmm. And that helped. What else did he do to keep costs down?
Well, he experimented with flooring. He was known to also experiment with different types of roofs and you know, cutting down those costs wherever possible. And one thing, by taking out the walls of the house, having this open plan, it does decrease costs. It does decrease your construction costs overall.
Does Johnson County, Kansas, again, it sort of has taken pride in being home of a lot of ranch homes. Is Johnson County sort of on the national radar screen when it comes to a home of ranch homes?
You would find that across the United States, actually.
So it's nothing unique about Johnson County.
Well, by 1955, 8 out of 10 homes were built in the ranch style. So that gives you a sense of how many ranch houses there are.
8 of 10 homes?
Yes.
How many ranch homes are there in this country? Do you know?
I can't tell you.
You haven't counted them lately?
Well, and one thing is that this is the first house to be mass-produced across the country. So that's where you get that 8 out of 10 homes.
That's incredible. Back to some phone calls at 816-235-2888. Our topic today, at least for this segment, ranch homes. Mandy from Shawnee, good morning.
Good morning. I have bought two homes in my life. Both have been ranch. And the reason why is because I'm a physical therapist and have worked in home care physical therapy for the last 20-some years and have seen too many people in split-level homes that just can't even get to what they need, either because they've aged or because they've had an injury. So just makes so much more sense to have everything you need on one level.
Do you have a basement in your home, Mandy?
We do, yes.
Because I'd have to have a basement in my house to put my stuff, you know?
Right, for storage and because, you know, we're supposedly in Tornado Alley. So, have to have a basement, but definitely everything else on one level.
All right. I'm glad you called, Mandy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Gary from Eudora. Gary, you're on Up to Date.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, what qualifies as a raised ranch? That's another term that I've heard.
Yeah, what is a raised ranch, Mary?
Essentially, we don't use that in the vocabulary. And so a raised ranch can be, a lot of times, people will call split-level homes, they will call them a raised ranch. So it can be two stories.
Okay, I get it. And that's just the term that gets applied to it.
That's the term that gets applied to it, yes.
Yeah. And I was wondering, you know, to what extent did, you know, the architect, the developer of these ranch homes, Cliff May, did he struggle to be taken seriously because he wasn't a conventionally trained architect? Did people tend to blow him off a little bit?
Certainly the architect's profession, the American Institute of Architects, they did blow him off, essentially. Mm-hmm. In fact, they took him to court in the 1950s because he did have on his drawings the architect. And they didn't want him to be called, you know, he did not go to architectural school, and they did not want that on there. And so from then on, he had to call himself a builder.
And there was also the fact that his homes were basically for the middle class because of their inexpensive costs. Did that place him into some sort of lowbrow category, at least in the eyes of sort of the architectural establishment?
I don't think so. He did over 1,000 custom homes here in the United States and around the world.
Mm.
18,000 houses, tract houses, were built using his designs. I think he did very, very well. And he also did designs for Sunset Magazine as well as Robert Mondavi. I mean, if you look at the wine bottles today, that has been on their wine bottle since the 1960s, the building that he designed.
No kidding.
That's right.
And what spurred the renewed interest in Cliff May? What's brought this renewal that's going on?
Well, first of all, it is because there's this renewed interest in the ranch house itself. Mm-hmm. And so they want to go back to the beginnings. And again, Cliff May was a leading designer and promoter of the style. And so they're really looking into his background and to see how did he influence it and why.
Maybe just a final point, Mary. He died in 89, as you mentioned. How satisfied was he with the dream home he had created?
Well, he remodeled his family home, the last one, Mandalay, 13 times. So he was always, always experimenting with this style, and he always wanted to improve upon it. And I think that he was pretty much happy with it. He probably would have remodeled it one more time if he could.
But it was basically an extended ranch house.
Yes, and certainly Cliff May at this point in time, he is being recognized for his designs. And in 1988, they would grant him an architect's license.
Okay. So he finally got it.
So he finally got it. An honorary one, yes.
Oh, good deal. Well, Mary Van Belgoy will speak tonight at 6:30 at the Plaza Branch of the Kansas City Public Library. Go to kclibrary.org to grab a seat or for more information. And thanks for all the information about the ranch house, Mary.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.